Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. As many of you know, Pastor and Mrs. Otero are on vacation and are enjoying a time of rest. Pastor's duties and availability keep him busy virtually 24/7, it seems. But he's always ready to help in any circumstance. So this vacation is a time when they can really relax, and we pray that they will be refreshed. We are privileged to have with us today our good friend, Pastor Jack Van Dyken, to bring the counsel of God from his word. For most, Pastor Van Dyken doesn't need an introduction, but for others who don't know him, some information may be helpful. He's a veteran of two wars, may not be generally known, but I have my methods and found out he's a highly decorated veteran. He would resist my description, but in plain language, he's a hero in the eyes of unbelievers and believers alike, a hero of our country, and a faithful witness for Christ. If I can borrow a few words, he's come through many dangers, toils, and snares, and God has granted him a long life, and we are really privileged to have him here with us today. Pastor Van Dyken was a B-24 pilot in World War II, and Colonel Van Dyken was a supervisor of chaplains in Vietnam. He also was the pastor to civilian congregations, and we are delighted to have this man stand in the pulpit today. Thank you, Pastor, for being here, and Lord willing, next Sunday. Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and to the insert in your bulletin for information and activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. Also, there is an additional insert to interest you in the bulletin. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name. Continue our worship with hymn number 55, Come Christians, Join to Sing.
Christians, join to sing. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen.
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 334, Be Thou My Vision?
Pray. Everlasting, eternal, glorious God and Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of being able to go to the house of the Lord this day. We pray Thy blessing upon our church. We are here, our God, to extend the word of God to people all over. We thank Thee for those who have come to come into the church itself, and for our choir, and for all of the members who so diligently do the things of God's kingdom here. We pray also for those who are out in radio listening also. May they be realize that we also are thinking of them and that we are praying for them. We ask Thy blessing upon those who are the sick. O Lord, how hard it is sometimes when we are in the midst of sickness. But we thank You, Lord, that there is one way, one avenue of help, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for those who are the aged. As they come to the latter years of their life, we pray that they may find in Jesus Christ the greatest hope for life here and the life to come. We thank Thee for all of the people of our church. And we think especially, too, for our young people. In the midst of all the temptations that they come across, how difficult it is that they must stand up for Jesus Christ, and yet they do because they love Thee. We pray for those who are our visitors today so that they may know that they are welcome, that we need them here. We would like to have them there. We pray, our Father, for a nation, our nation, that has suffered so much in the last few weeks because of the storms which caused so much destruction and so much havoc. We pray for those who are homeless, those who have lost loved ones. We cannot fathom the difficulties and the hurts that they have, but we pray, our Father, that Thou art the one that may speak to them, and may they find their hope and trust in Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for the work of missions, that we may send them word of God throughout all the world. We pray that as we do this, we may glorify Thy name in every way. We thank Thee for our pastor, Dr. Otero, and his wife as they are resting in the midst of the tremendous load that our pastor carries. Bless him and his loved ones and give him good strength and health so that he may again come back into the pulpit and with his people bring the word of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 665. We will be reading Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to be our substitute, bearing the penalty for our sins in his own body so that we might pass from death to eternal life. We come before you in his name. We pray now for your servant as he comes to further expose the amazing truths of the scripture we just read. We pray, Father, that you would bless Pastor Van Dyken. Bless him and be his guide as we hear of the tremendous blessings that are ours as believers in Christ. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and especially for unbelievers, that they will also come to know the truth that will set them free, that they might believe the gospel and follow the author of liberty, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
I look forward to this wonderful privilege of being able to be with you folks. The president of the seminary, which I graduated from in Michigan, was out here visiting some time ago, and he says, I want to meet that 86-year-old preacher that you have. And he said, do you still preach? I said, as often as I possibly can. And I'll be preaching here 3 Sundays, I'm looking forward to that. And he said, I'm going to tell the students that they must not expect ever to retire. You're going to preach all your life. And that's the way I like it, too. My text for this morning's message is found in the 14th verse of our scripture. These words, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God. This very expression that we are sons of God is a wonderful thing. When I began to study this, and I love to study God's Word, and especially this particular text, I thought, am I a son of God? I know I'm a son of my father, and I know I'm a son of my mother, and so on, but a son of God. And as I studied it, great things came to my mind, and I want to share these with you. God has a chosen people, and you are part of that family of God. That's the family which is called those who God before the foundation of the world elected. And to you, he says, I have you as a son of mine. Now, we're going to explain that whole concept of son in a few moments, because it includes children, it includes women, and so on. But the Word of God just stresses this, because the concept of son of an individual throughout all ages always was that first son, the oldest son, he had the greatest of all futures. And this is what God is saying to us. And I hope that we, as we come to look at that this morning, we realize what a marvelous privilege it is to be able to be called a son of God. And that means you ladies and children just as well. But with us comes a great responsibility. I remember what my dad said to me several times when I wanted to make certain decisions in life. He says, just remember, you're the son of Fred Van Dyken. That's never passed my thinking. When I make a decision, though he's gone on to glory, these things reflect on him. But even more so, a thousand, a million times more, we must remind ourselves when we do things, when we make decisions, that we are a son of God. And that means that there are limitations, there are tremendous privileges, and there's a glory that comes with it. And so we're going to look, first of all, at some of the responsibilities. The responsibilities do not come without God's presence. And so when the Lord sends us out to do what we have to do and what we should do as his children, he gives us one tremendous and wonderful asset. The word asset isn't even enough, because he gives us one of the three persons of the Trinity. We know there's Father, Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit that we generally just kind of go over without even thinking about it. The Holy Spirit is so vital in our life. Without us even knowing it, the Holy Spirit will be speaking through us. Now, of course, it means this. You need to be involved in God's Word. You need to study it. You need to listen to God as he speaks to you in his Word. And then the decisions that God wants you to make, he'll see that they are the right decisions. Of course, we're responsible at that point too, because it means that these must be in harmony with what we proclaim or say that we are when we say, I'm a Christian. But we have to fight against one thing in all of us, every one of us, regardless of our age, regardless of our background, and that is our old nature. That old nature, which is a sinful nature, and we have it. And it constantly seems to try to push everything else out of the way. We're taught this, especially if we go to the schools that are not Christian schools. They'll let you know how important it is to make certain decisions, and they teach you these things. But they don't tell you, you have a responsibility to God. That's one of the nice things about the Church of Jesus Christ. We say, well, you're going to do this and that, but that must be in harmony with God's will. And so often the old me steps out and puts me ahead of God. And we have to be very careful about that, because, you see, we are sons of God. And as sons of God, we are responsible to God. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, of course, primarily through the Word of God. And that's why, as I said, you have to study God's Word, read it, and infuse this with your life. As a pastor, of course, I do a lot of scripture reading. And I have in my files thousands of sermons. But I don't do like I guess some of my fellow pastors do, reach in there and grab one of those. I want to study and find something that I've not thought of before, and God sends it to us. And so I thought, boy, this text, that we are the sons of God, that must be something terrific. And it is. Our scripture tells us that by the grace of God, if we walk in his way, we will be led by the Spirit of God. We do not fall back into the things which draw us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians really do not want to sin, but we're weak. We're weak. And this is why, as I said, we need to be reminded of two things, to study God's Word and to remember that, just as my dad said, remember, you're a son, one of my sons, you and I must remember, if we can put this into our minds and keep this the rest of our life, we are sons of God. What a tremendous and wonderful thing. But he doesn't just give us this. He also puts a title to it. Here, in a very lovely way, he says in our scripture that we are the children of God, and we quote the 15th verse, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Now, isn't that beautiful? That's a special way that we as Christians, that Abba, Father, is from the Greek, which means Daddy, Father. And you and I, as sons of God, remember, we need to let God know how much we love him. And so he is our Father in a very special way, as we are his son. We must never forget this, because it's where we need to find our strength. It's the world in which we live constantly, whether it's in TV, whether it's on the radio, whether it's in movies or whatever else it is, or people that we do business with. They constantly draw us away from the things of life everlasting, because they are thinking of the temporal things. And you and I must think of what our family really wants, because we are sons of God. We are God's people. Imagine in your prayers, and you may, in your prayers say, Father in heaven. You see, the significance of calling God Father is even greater now that you realize it, and we must realize this, that we are sons of God. So that when you talk to God, our Father in heaven, he listens to you and me as his son. Now, our fathers, of course, want to do many things for us. Of course, we have some fathers that, because of human being humans, can't always give us things. But our Father in heaven is controller over everything in the world, everything all over the world. There's no limit. And so as children of God, we want to remember that we can appeal to him as his son. And this is because Scripture also says that we are adopted. Now, that's something that we need to look at. You see, to be adopted means that you didn't really belong, but because someone wanted you so much, they adopted you. You see, by nature, we're with like the whole world. But God, in his wonderful love, says, I want you. And he's talking to you, Christians. I want you. And so I'm going to adopt you. That's the way you and I become the sons of God. It's very difficult in a short sermon to be able to really get this point totally across. But when we come to realize that in our prayers, then we may be able to appeal to God in a more personal way, as though we would say, now, God, this is what I need. This is what I would like to have. Father, I'm your son. And then wait for his answer. That isn't easy, because our own human nature always seems to want to have what we want instead of what God wants. Because once we say this, you see, we're saying two different things. Lord, I want this, but thy will be done. Oh boy, that's so important. Thy will be done. And so, with the great privilege of being called a son of God, a child of God, and that God is your father, and that he overrules everything in this world, you and I yet, as children of God, sometimes even in tears in our eyes and heartbroken, must have things happen to us that we don't really like. But God always has a reason for all these things. Because you see, to the world in which we live, what they have today, that's all they're going to have. When they die, that's the end. But this isn't for you, children. No, not one of you that belongs to Jesus Christ. He has a home prepared in heaven. And that's why, having adopted you and me as his children, he wants to have us prepare for heaven. Oh, it's not that we're going to be able to make ourselves perfect. We aren't. But in all of these things, we can do those things which God really wants us to do. Because we are, as Scripture says, we are heirs with Jesus Christ. Notice that? Scripture says we are heirs with Jesus Christ. And you know what an heir is? That's a person that inherits certain things. Well, this is one of these added glorious attractions that you and I have, which, first of all, gives us a privilege. But second, it gives us responsibility. Now, if I was speaking to a man who is very wealthy and has a son that he wants to bring into the corporation, I could listen to him as he says to his son, "Now, don't you let me down, son. You know, this is a big company, and you can ruin it. I don't want you to let me down. You have that beautiful car out there, and you have all that beautiful home, and you have all the other things because you are my son. But don't you dare let me down." So in this world in which we live, to a certain extent, but not as importantly enough, God says as he grants you all the things that you and I have, and that don't forget, you belong to me. And that's why you and I become thankful Christians. Thankful. We'll say, "Thank you, Father, for that." And sometimes it may be when something happens that hurts. And through our tears, we still must say, "Thank you, God." Because as we said, we're just one step closer to eternity. We're children of everlasting life. The world doesn't understand that. They laugh at us. Because they're not sons of God like you are. And you have that marvelous privilege. And as joint heirs, we look for the return of Jesus Christ, which will be that wonderful day in eternity. There's some of the things that I would like to remind you of what happened. You know, when Jesus came on earth, Scripture says God gave him a position lower than the angels. And I wondered, well, what is that, lower than the angels? Jesus, as Son of God in heaven, had the dominion over all the angels. All the angels, of course, worshiped him. And all of the angels did all of the things that Jesus, as God in heaven, would ask them to. But now suddenly, he becomes lower than the angels. Did you ever think about that? As you look into it, you must also realize that undoubtedly the angels, who do not know all things like God does, say, why does he, the one that we have been serving all along, why are we higher than he now? And it's a hard thing, but God did it for a very special purpose, because he made his son equal to us, humanly speaking, so that he could understand our needs, and so that on the cross he could die for us as a man as well as God. But can you imagine what happened in heaven? Can you imagine what happened in heaven when the day of crucifixion? Scripture doesn't tell us anything about this, and this is, I'm just want you to peek into heaven with me at this for this. How did the angels think? What did they think about when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross, their master, their Lord, the one that they served, the one that they loved with a perfect love? Can you imagine that? They did that. But can you imagine that on Ascension Day, after 3 days, when Jesus left this earth, when he rose again from the dead, imagine what heaven was like when Jesus returned to heaven. What a fabulous celebration. Scripture doesn't tell us about this, but I think we have a right to realize this. And I say this because that's what happens when God takes you to be with him. Let me tell you, we cry when a loved one passes away. But if that loved one is a child of God, just that second, they come into the glory of God. And the angels are under them now. See, while you and I are on earth, we are under the angels. But once we come in heaven, and Scripture indicates this, that we are over the hosts of the angels, and they will glorify God when God takes you out of this world. You see, heaven has a different evaluation, I think, than we as humans. We strive for the things of the flesh, and we get the doctor there to be sure that we can get medications and that we're get healthy and all of these things. But angels in heaven, and you and I need to think a little bit of that. Rejoice when you and I leave this world. Because all that sin that we hated to have on us, in spite of how much we love the Lord, all of that sin was there, but suddenly it's all cut off. And the angels greet us because we are sons of God. We have the position not as God, but as the sons of God, with the realization there that we are over all of the angels. Paul refers to the suffering of God's people over against the unbelievers. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, we've got everything to live for, and even more to die for. It's not that we're advocating this, this isn't it, but I want you to realize what the position is as a son of God. We as the sons of God will note that creation, listen, this is a scripture, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. That's what it's saying is, all of creation is waiting for the day that you and I leave this world and are with the Lord in heaven. What a tremendous thing. This is what we mean. This is what Scripture is saying when it calls us sons of God. In Romans, the 8th chapter, the 22nd verse, it says, for we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. And that adoption, complete that adoption comes when God takes us out of this world. And there, among all of the glories of heaven, we have the full position, which we don't really feel sometimes here on earth as children of God. As sons of God, we will wear the crown. That's right. We will wear the crown of glory. We will rule the heaven's angels. And while on earth we are lower than the angels, when we are in heaven, we'll be higher than the angels. Because listen to what Scripture says in Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then are we heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. So when you don't always get the things that maybe your neighbors get, so when you don't always have the breaks that others have, don't worry. If they don't love the Lord and don't know the Lord, you have so much more than they do. What a future that you and I have. I want each one of you to go out of church today remembering, I'm a son of the King. I'm the son of the King. Whether you're a girl, a lady, a man, a boy, you are a son of the King. Oh, what a responsibility. Oh, what a privilege. Oh, what a joy. What a wonderful thing. You heaven and I heaven, a thing to cry about. We have everything to look forward to. Oh, the weakness of our flesh causes those tears, of course, but the glory is that we are sons of God. But while we're still living, you and I can be able to show that as children of God, we adore our Father in heaven, that we want to live up to what he expects of us. Remember what I said about what my father would tell me? God tells us that today. Live for me. May not go very well with our human nature, but it goes well with eternal life. Children of God, you are the most privileged people in all the world. Don't look upon the others, the millionaires and the others that are going to hell. Not that all millionaires are, but don't, you don't have to look at them and think, I wish that I had that, especially if they don't have God as their Lord and Savior. You are a son of God. Hold your head up high, humbly thanking God for the position he has given you. And then to his glory and praise, ask him to lead you and direct you and keep you so that you may be an asset to the kingdom of God. Sons of God, what a future. Amen. Our Father in heaven, to come to know these great and marvelous things, we look at your word. And after looking at your word, our Father, we are so eager to be able to feel the real value of those things. We are reminded, our Father, that we have not only a privilege, but a right to those things in Jesus Christ. For we are co-heirs with him, as your word tells us. And we have life on earth, beginning now, as your people, and then when you take us to be with him. Bless each one here. May we go with realizing as sons of God, children of God, that we are the most blessed of all people. In Jesus' name, amen.
By the blood of the Lamb.
benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, now and forevermore. Amen. We are dismissed.